Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 73 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx-born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up in this week's episode.
In a bonus edition, and a second episode in 1 week, I'm joined by Helen McKenna to talk about her new audio drama, Echoes of Shadows, which is due to be launched next week. I'm also joined by a few members of the production team for the Manx Operatic Society's production of Legally Blonde, which holds its auditions next weekend. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcasts, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like, a five-star review, and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also helps to make it more available for other people to find. In this week's earlier episode, I forgot to mention that Joe Locke is back on stage in the West End in Samuel D. Hunter's Clarkston. Joe plays fragile Jake, newly relocated from affluent Connecticut to the backwoods town of Clarkston, and starting work as a Costco night shift shelf stocker, a job to which he is eminently ill-suited. Jake is on the run from himself. He's being diagnosed with neurodegenerative Huntington's disease, which will prematurely end his life. Clarkston plays at the Trafalgar Theatre until the 22nd of November. Well, there's lots going on at the moment, so make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. As it's a jam-packed episode, and it's only been 3 days since the last, let's dive straight in with my chat with Helen McKenna and find out all about her new audio drama podcast, Echoes of Shadows.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Okay, I'm joined now on the podcast by Helen McKenna, who was just about to publish a brand new audio drama called Echoes of Shadows. Helen, welcome along to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So Helen, this is a new audio drama that you've written yourself.
Yes.
Funded by an Arts Council grant.
Mm-hmm.
So this was about December last year?
Yeah, so I put the application in December and received the funding in March. So just before Christmas, I found out that it was approved and was very gobsmacked because I never thought it would actually happen. So I was happy about that.
Fantastic. So Echoes of Shadows, it's got a bit of a sort of a woo kind of feel to it. So tell us what it's all about.
Yeah, so it focuses on two ladies in their 30s, Connie and Fia, which is an Irish name. And they used to be quite good friends a decade ago earlier, so they've not seen each other for quite a long time. And in that time, Connie is a journalist.
Right.
Have to mention it's a fictional island.
Right.
Get that in now. A fictional radio station Connie works at as a journalist. And she's kind of having a little bit of an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
She's been there for a long time. It's all she has ever known. As well as that, she's kind of got her inner demons, which is where the sort of Echoes of Shadows has come from, because she's kind of having these sort of recurrent flashbacks and basically having anxiety attacks and things, and it's affecting her work.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fia is a recovering drug addict. So probably worth mentioning at the start as well, the audio drama is raising awareness for victim support, Isle of Man Food Bank, and Motivate Isle of Man.
Fabulous.
So that, basically this story intertwines a lot of themes with trauma, assault, drug addiction, but it's not all doom and gloom. The aim of it is to raise awareness for the charities, but there is hope and elements of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel sort of thing. So yeah, I myself have spoken to all of these charities throughout my journalistic career. I've worked at Free FM, Isle of Man Newspapers, Granada Reports, and through my time there I would often speak to individuals who had been through a lot themselves, and I think I've always had that element of trying to help other people.
Yeah.
So similar to Connie,
yeah,
she cares a lot about people herself and the stories that she writes. So Connie and Fia will bump into each other again after so long of not seeing each other. The recurring theme is, can you escape your past?
Mm-hmm.
So bumping into Fia it kind of resonates with Connie in terms of there was a lot left unsaid when they last saw each other. And without giving too much of the story away, when the two meet again, it's as if nothing's changed, but then so much has.
Yeah, and we've all got friends like that. You know, you don't have to see people for 10 years and you're like, you then sort of fall back in with them and it's like you've never been apart.
Yeah, exactly. Because ultimately, the friendship was still there. It was just kind of broken.
Yeah.
And Lisa Kreisky, who plays Connie, I had to kind of, in terms of the character, and especially with Grania, who, mm-hmm. Grania Jochen, who plays Fia, because they both have like difficulties with their mental health and anxiety, and mm-hmm. the reasons behind, like Connie drinks a lot, and Fia is taking drugs. There are reasons behind that, and I think that's ultimately why I kind of wrote this, because as well as raising awareness for charities and the causes, it kind of explains like there are reasons behind why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And they're not just acting out at work or having, you know, a run-in with the police because for the hell of it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you say it's set on a fictitious island. I think we should also point out at this point as well, with most people that know you as being a journalist on a small island, that it's also fictitious as well. It's not based on your own story.
No, experiences, no, it's not. However, I have lost people in my personal life, you know, to unfortunately overdose or, you know, substance misuse, basically, in general. So, yeah.
Drawing upon those experiences then for the
story, yeah. Drawing on it, but not writing about them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So being influences rather than, than direct sort of, this is what happened.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to
perform. Exactly. Okay.
So we've got a cast of about 12 or 15.
Yeah. So not all of the characters are like yourself, for instance. You thank you very much, by the way, taking part. You are kind of like recurring characters, like not just one character. Some people will play like a couple of different characters.
Yeah.
So yeah, the cast have been really great, and from the start I was really happy with, you know, how it's all gone recording wise and just jumping on board, really.
It's been a really different experience for me as well, because this is the first time that I've done a radio play like this as well. And you're so used to rehearsing plays and musicals, and you sort of work everything through from start to finish. And this, we're going, right, your lines, well, these ones, we'll just do those lines, and then you're free to go. And then we'll slot them all together in the edit afterwards. So it's an interesting process that way, because you don't have to do everything with everyone there at the same time. You can all sort of slot it all together.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been great for me as well, because I've never done it before. And, you know, I was really like thinking, is this going to work? But I'm just really glad that a lot of the cast, as you know, have theatre backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I think Lisa has done audio before. But
yes,
regardless of all of that, everyone's been great and, you know, listened to what I wanted and, you know, took direction really well, because I'm, as you are, used to a theatre director.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never really, like, I've only directed one time really for the one act, which was terrifying. So to direct an audio drama, I was like, ooh, is this gonna go well? But anyway, it's been really fun and I've enjoyed it. As you know, gonna be 5 more episodes hopefully on air in March next year. So I've got a kind of take away what I've learned from this experience recording the last 5, which has not just been one straight set. You know, much like in theatre, you usually rehearse for a set sort of time period, whereas with this, it was like I had like bits to tweak with episodes, and you guys were really great in terms of, you know, some of you would all be available on one day and I could just get the episode done, whereas others would like come in as and when. Or Ollie Sykes, for instance, who plays Joe, he was actually at uni.
Right.
Thankfully, he does a journalism course, so he had access to a microphone.
Yes, yes.
And could send bits in like that I needed. But he was back in the summer, so he did episode 5 this July. So yeah, it's been really interesting to kind of like hear how it all. I mean, James, who's Milestone Media, probably hasn't enjoyed piecing it all together. But that's why it's taken like a few months to put to get to this point.
Well, the majority of the cast have all been busy with other shows as well.
Of course.
Lisa and Grania and a few others, they've been involved with Calendar Girls, and myself and a couple of others, we've been involved with Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes. So
trying to find time when we weren't in rehearsals was probably tricky for a while anyway.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was really grateful. And, you know, Rachel Braidwood is the Deputy High Bailiff, so yes. I was very appreciative of her free time.
And you've also got Peter Wicks as well, who is a professional voiceover artist.
He is, yes.
Audio plays and computer games and all sorts of things.
Yeah, so he's our fabulous DJ in the background of quite a few scenes in the radio station.
We'll look forward to hearing that.
And he's done quite a few voice effects that I needed. And he's also a newsreader in the play. So, yeah, he's great. And he had some great advice as well about, you know, just random things like dead air or, you know, that kind of stuff that you don't really think about. You think about just the actual sound effects.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, there's a lot to think about with that. And
especially like when you're sort of, they're in the kind of the newsroom office, so you've got a general sort
of course.
Bustle and hustle going around. There'll be phones going off. There's the actual radio that's live in the background playing over speakers
that's
in the
it.
Room and probably a TV in the corner that's got the BBC News on. And
the news bulletin music that Lisa has in the very first bit. Like, I had to think about absolutely everything. But it's been really interesting and fun and a good experience so far anyway.
as we started to record, did you then sort of go, oh, yeah, I didn't really think that, you know, sort of people, have, once they've sort of taken it on and owned it, you're thinking like, oh, yeah, that's a bit, Lisa's playing that a little bit different than I thought. And have you then sort of gone back and sort of tweaked the script a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. As I've gone along, even like when it comes to editing, like when we've listened back and all the audio, the dialogue is done, I've gone, actually, that bit doesn't sound right. That bit I need to cut out. Like that bit doesn't work. Like, and as you just said, like, yeah, any actors, you know, would make me think, oh, okay. Yeah, actually, they've said it that way and that works.
Yeah. Fantastic. So we're starting off on the 9th of October. There is a preview event.
Yes.
At the Chamber of Commerce's...
It's the launch pad.
The launch pad, yes. So it's, I think it's the building that used to be known as Hillary House on the end of Finch Road, just on the corner by Prospect Hill. So that's there on the 9th of October.
Yes, so that's 7 till 8 p.m. It's a free event. You can register online via the Eventbrite link, which will be available.
I'll share it through the Facebook page for you. And,
thank you.
And you've got your own Facebook page as well for the
Yes. Echoes of Shadows has a dedicated Facebook page and it now has a website, which I'm very excited about. So that's where the episodes will be hosted.
Yeah.
But also, they will be available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Excellent. That's the important question, is where can we listen to them? But that's Apple Podcasts and Spotify, but also through the website as well.
Yes, it'll be there too.
Fantastic. So on the 9th, it's a special preview. There's going to be a bit of a taster of some of the episodes and a bit of a Q&A.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to have the trailer played out for you then, and it'll just give you a bit of a taster, as you say, and an idea about what to expect.
And then the first five episodes are going live the following day on the 10th?
Yes, that's the plan.
That's the plan, okay. And then the second five, the second half, is going to be sort of about March next year?
Yeah, if I can have all the episodes done in time, yes.
If we can record it in time.
I can get everyone to give up their free time again.
Fantastic. Okay, so we'll have a quick look at the cast, because we've already mentioned we've got Lisa Kreisky and Grania Jochen in the two lead roles as Connie and Fia.
Yes.
We've also mentioned Ollie Sykes is playing Joe, and that's Connie's boyfriend?
That's Connie's boyfriend, who she also works with.
Ooh, awkward.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And there's a little bit of that in the first episode as well, isn't it? There's clearly been some kind of a disagreement with them outside of work, and it's coming to work, and it's a little bit prickly.
Yeah, a bit of drama at the start there. So, it's like a strained relationship. But Joe has had to put up with, as I mentioned before about Connie having, like, anxiety and her sort of inner demons, been together for about 4 years, and it's starting to obviously affect the relationship a lot more. He doesn't understand why exactly she is the way she is as well, and I had to kind of tell Ollie, you know, as he was doing, especially episode 5, when things got a bit more heated, you know, giving him a bit more background about why he reacts to Connie a certain way.
Fabulous. And we've got Darren Webb, who's playing Stan. So he's kind of like, is he like their boss, or is he part of the news team?
He's the boss of the radio station, and he's known Connie for a very long time. He is more like a friend to Connie, but because of her behavior. He has to kind of put his foot down a lot. And he's a good guy. Yeah.
Excellent. Then we've got the police.
Yes.
So we've got Jenny Derbyshire as Naomi, she's a sergeant.
Yes, she is.
Like community policing team kind of.
Yeah. So she is like the Willen West Vulnerable Persons Protection Officer.
Right.
Which, after speaking to victim support especially, I kind of had to do a lot of research in terms of, like, even though it's a fictional island,
yeah,
kind of similar to here in the UK, what's the kind of process for, you know, dealing with that? Jenny's character has known Thea for a long time. Mm-hmm. And similar to Stan and Connie's relationship, she's kind of like on friendly terms because it's just such a small place.
But come across each other quite a lot.
Yeah, but at the same time, having to be that sense of authority, mm-hmm, and being at sort of arm's length, like helping, yeah, when needed, but not getting too involved because obviously they've got other things to do.
Yes.
And yeah.
And then the Lewis to her Morse is PC Woods, played by me.
Yes, yes, you're her colleague, and yeah, you've come across Thea a lot as well, so you're kind of like at your wit's end.
Yeah, he's a bit more straight laced, isn't he? He's a bit more, yeah, sort of procedural.
Yeah,
this is the process. That's what we're doing now. Get on.
Yeah. Whereas Jenny's is kind of like, oh, okay, she's seen the sort of vulnerable side of Granny's character. And has a bit of a soft spot.
She's a bit more empathetic, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay. Then we have Larissa Lyons, and she's playing Kira, who works at the food bank.
Yes, she does. Yes. It's interesting because Kira was originally a Karen.
Right.
But then the male actor who couldn't take part anymore, I sort of thought, actually, okay, I know an Irish lady, so the character was Irish, yeah, yeah, is Irish, sorry. So I thought, Larissa is perfect, because I've acted with her before, and she was on board. And I'm actually really glad it's turned into a Kira, because it works. It kind of, like, the vibe is great for the interactions that she has with Connie and Fia, yeah.
And it's at the food bank that Connie and Fia kind of connect again, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. So
Connie's down there doing a report on the food bank.
Yeah, so she speaks to Kira, and then on the way out, yeah, I won't ruin it too much.
But, spoilers.
Yeah, and as well as that, Kira's known both of the characters a long time as well, yeah.
Okay, we also have Kelly Firth playing Annabelle.
Yes.
Rachel Braidwood playing Philippa.
Mm-hmm.
So are these friends of Connie's and Fia's, or...?
So Kelly's character, Annabelle, is Connie's best friend. She's a bit younger than Connie, like, late 20s, and doesn't really know about Connie's past at all.
Right.
Like, they met at a time when Connie was kind of wanting to forget about that past and change as a person.
The wild youth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they've stayed friends, and she's a good, solid friend.
Yeah.
Philippa is probably not considered a friend to Connie. Philippa is the head of news.
Right.
At the radio station. But she kind of comes at a time where Connie is literally having this identity crisis, so it's a bad time. But
Connie hoping to get the head of news as well herself?
I think deep down, yes, but I think she wasn't sure if it was even a path that she wanted to take anymore. Yeah. But regardless, she wasn't really keen on Philippa at all, and. Yeah, the way, I won't ruin it again in case you listen, but the interactions that they have, Philip is very old school, yeah, very like my way or the highway, mm-hmm, and social media, as you can probably imagine in this day and age, it's a big deal for media organizations. So Philip is trying to like go one way and Connie's like, actually, I don't really agree with this.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, you'll find out when you listen.
Yeah.
I think she calls her the Dragon Lady.
Oh, excellent. Neil King plays Harry.
He does, yeah. Harry is a press officer in the government. He's not a very big role, but he does crop up from time to time. And then also Neil is going to play another character, which is to be confirmed in the next 5 episodes. Right. So he will be back.
He will be back.
Yeah.
With a different voice.
Yes.
Peter Wicks, as we said, was the radio DJ. Is that Dylan?
Dylan is actually Fia's father.
Right,
so
okay.
He appears briefly in episode 1. And then, yeah, he is the radio DJ in the kind of background of the radio station. So, as you can imagine, the ambient sort of noise, yeah, that you'd need there, you kind of will hear his voice. And he's also, he plays a newsreader and a few other sort of sound effects that I needed. He was great.
And then we have Jemima Cain as Lola.
Yes.
And others.
So she is a food bank volunteer, and she hasn't really appeared in a lot of episodes 1 to 5, but she's done a lot of the emergency joint control room work, like you have as well. I'm hoping to get Jemima involved a lot more in the next 5 episodes.
Excellent. And then the last one on my list is yourself as the narrator, plus other assorted voices and radio dispatch. And
Yeah, it's been fun overall. I've had a great time. And yeah, as I say, I just really hope that the drama does what it's setting out to do.
Yeah.
And this is my first radio drama, so I hope people will like it.
The first of many, we hope.
Hopefully. It might not be as serious a story. but I think ultimately the whole point as well, you know, these kind of subjects, they are important and they need to be kind of talked about because people can be stigmatized. And I really hope that it does help people.
Well, brilliant. Well, thank you very much. So, Echoes of Shadows, the teaser event is on the 9th of October at the Chamber of Commerce Launchpad office. It can also be watched live stream through the Chamber of Commerce's social media accounts.
Yes.
And then the podcast itself, the audio drama, is live on Spotify and Apple Podcasts from the 10th.
Yes, hopefully, all being well.
All being well.
Unless they go, no, at the last minute, and I'll have to rethink.
Well, Helen, we wish you and everyone involved with Echoes of Shadows all the very best, and we'll hope to speak to you again soon when you get ready to launch the next 5.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomart.com. Now, I'm not just saying it because I'm in it, but I'm genuinely looking forward to hearing the full Echoes of Shadows audio drama, as I've only heard a small fraction around the scenes that I've actually recorded. Right, now it's time for my chat with some of the production team from the Manx Operatic Society.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
I'm joined now on the podcast by Chris Sullivan, Alicia Schofield and Matilda Clegg from the Manx Operatic Society, ahead of the auditions for Legally Blonde next weekend. So, welcome along to the podcast.
Hey.
So, auditionings are happening next weekend, which is Friday the 10th to Sunday the 12th of October, here at the Manx Operatic Society rehearsal rooms at the end of Finch Road, just below South Douglas Old Friends Association. So the show is Legally Blonde, last done in 2017?
Mm. Yes, 2017. It's good, it's exciting, and it's good to get a new take to it.
Yeah, it's a good fun show to do.
100%, yeah.
And there's a different director this time, because this time it's Jeremy Tustin, isn't it?
Yes.
So this is Jeremy's done a few now with the song, isn't he?
It is his fifth show with us, I think, fourth or fifth show with us. So it's really exciting to have him back. He's great to work with.
Brilliant. So, Chris, you are the musical director.
That's me.
So you're the person that's going to be putting them all through their musical paces throughout.
Hopefully,
So what are you looking for in your sort of the cast that are coming into audition next weekend?
Sure. So there's three things that I go by usually at an audition. I'm a massive advocate for people musically up to the rest of the audition panel. And if you have lots of positives, I'll make sure that the rest of the audition panel know what those are. So that's the first one. Second is characterisation. We're really looking for different takes on characters in the room. Oftentimes people will mimic or duplicate a character that they've heard on the West End or, you know, in shows online, however they consume their media of a show. But we really want to see an individual. And people have already been telling me that a lot of the stories and themes in Legally Blonde really mean a lot to them.
Oh, right, okay.
So carrying in your own personal story to your audition is the way to go.
Brilliant.
And then third thing is taking risks. I really love it when people push themselves in an audition room because it means they're happy stepping out of their comfort zone. It's already a stressful occasion, in front of 2, 3, 4 people who are all watching you, your every move. But people who then go that extra step further, that try something that maybe could go wrong or go right in the moment, is just wonderful to see because that's where we can, as a team, grow you. the process over the 6 months isn't just about being good when you first turn up. It's about seeing that potential in you as a performer.
And to know that what you present on that day can grow into something that's going to be amazing when it comes to the show.
Absolutely.
And of course, every person behind that desk that sat there watching, they all want you to do your best anyway, don't they? So many people go in, you're really nervous, and they go, but everyone just wants you to do your best. Yeah. So it's really encouraging.
We're on their team.
Yeah, exactly, yes. And Alicia, you're going to be putting them through their paces with the choreography as dance captain.
I am indeed, yes. It's a very high-paced, a lot of stamina needed for the show. The thing we're looking for most in auditions, I would probably look out for individuality. A lot of your personality needs to shine through with your dancing. Confidence and pretty much everything Chris said. Took the words pretty much straight out my mouth there. Characterisation, all things.
And you're looking for some strong dancers as well.
Yes, strong dancers. It's a high energy show.
Okay, and also there's some slight restrictions on who can audition for the show as well. Everyone's got to be out of mandatory full-time education.
Yes.
Sixth form is okay, but so year 12 and up. So I guess some of the bits of the storyline are a little bit
mature.
Yeah.
It's set at a university college.
Yes.
So yeah, we're just looking for someone like a bit more mature, probably with their voice and their dancing.
Yes, because obviously it's set in a university. You're not going to have 14-year-olds walking around a university, are you? So, so I guess we need to look at the important dates for when people are considering whether they can audition or not. And that's actually the dates of the show, because if they're not around for the dates of the show, there's no point in auditioning. So the show itself is Saturday the 9th of May through to the 16th of May, which is also the following Saturday. And there are blocking weeks from the first week of November, January, February and March. Then there's a second one that's a couple of weeks later in March, and then the middle of April, and then it's May and you're into the show.
That's right. Yeah.
Which doesn't seem like that far away.
I know. It goes so quick, but it's so worth it when you get on the stage. And I don't know, it's just being on stage is so good, and you're working with people for all these months and you get so great connections. I think doing a show, it's for yourself, but it's also, it's really good for your mental health, really, just coming down, speaking to each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and you know, it's that old cheesy adage, isn't it? It's, you know, the show becomes a family, and you really do. Everyone, there's, you know, the older ones look after the younger ones, and I always find that, you know, you've got lots of young people, and then lots of old people, and then somewhere in the middle, everyone kind of meets it around the same kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And we find that at the Banks Ops. What we're seeing in people signing up for auditions is that a lot of returnees, particularly from Jamie last year, we had a lot of teenage cast.
Yes.
And that's why we had to then clarify about the post-mandatory education age, because so many people did want to come back.
Yeah.
And it's all part of growing that potential again. Whoever you are at audition, we want to then grow and make better so that on the next show, whether it be us or another production company, you really do shine.
Brilliant. So let's have a look at the roles that are up for grabs. So the first one, obviously, is Elle Woods, and she's the lead. So she's, about 20 to 26, kind of age bracket, and she's a mezzo-soprano range.
Yeah.
So this is the person then that's going to carry the show. So she needs to be a strong actress, singer, dancer, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
Yes.
The character vessel, they call it.
The character vessel. Okie dokie. Then we also have Professor Callahan, age range of 40 to 60. And from what I've seen, he's a baritone.
That's right. He starts out seemingly good.
Yeah.
But turns into a bit of a baddie towards the end.
Yeah. I seem to remember the last time. I think it was John Snelling played him last time.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. It was a great part, actually. I'm kind of slap bang in the middle of that age range for that one. So,
well,
go for it.
I might be busy. Then we have Paulette, 35 to 40, a mezzo-soprano. So Paulette is the spirited owner of the Hair Affair Salon. Where does Paulette sit in the story?
She's the salon owner, and she's not such a confident type at the start. So in terms of character growth, Elle goes on her own journey. Then Paulette goes on sort of a parallel journey, but later on in her life falls romantically for the postman. As he comes and drops off his deliveries during the day. He's got very tight shorts, apparently.
Very tight.
Not to put off the auditionees for being a postman. But then she really overcomes a lot of things in her own life that are contextual to somebody of a slightly older age. And her song, Ireland, just has the biggest finish of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, the encores and things, yeah, sure, blow people away. But some of her long last notes by herself, just singing at the top there, is wonderful.
I mean, obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, the story of Legally Blonde is that Elle is dumped by her boyfriend as he goes off to Harvard University, and she manages to get herself onto the course to study law as well to prove that she's better than he thinks she is. More than just a bit of a blonde bimbo, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is terrible life advice, you know.
Yes.
No one should ever have to. But no. Then the growth comes later on, realising that she was better than that all along.
And then there's Vivian, the new girlfriend, who seems to be perfect in every way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so rare that you get baddies that are female parts. That,
yeah.
What a thing to play.
So she's for someone who is also 22 to 30, so that kind of young adult age.
Mm. Yeah.
And she is also a soprano belt. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Bit of sass, bit of a mean streak.
And the object of both of their, the sort of the point of the love triangle then is Warner Huntington. And he's, again, 22 to 28. He's a tenor, high baritone.
That's it. And tenors and high baritones tend to be the Chads of theatre. So yeah. That's who we're looking for, somebody to play a Chad.
Right, okay. Brooke Wyndham, 30 to 40 years old, soprano alto. Now, she is someone who Elle helps out in a bit of a legal case.
I have to think on this one now.
This is where I seem to know more of the story than you do.
Oh, yes. Brooke is accused of murder.
That's it, yes.
But
Brooke's, yes.
Elle's knowledge of law is backed up by her knowledge of all things hair and makeup that only Elle could know, and she just trumps everybody in the courthouse.
Brilliant. So she's more of a slightly older part then, and is this the one that does all the skipping?
Yes, whipped into shape.
Whipped into shape, yes.
So.
While singing.
4 minutes of skipping.
Lots of cardio then for whoever comes along and plays Brooke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the cardio.
Yes.
I think Susie Kelly played that last time around, and she was fantastic. She was just the ever-ready bunny when it comes to stuff like that. She was amazing. Emmett. Emmett is Elle's best friend from university. Is that right?
Yeah. For a while, he is a professor or somebody who, you know, works at the university.
Right, okay.
And happens to be in the classes that she is in. And they do form a friendship, but over time, and I think in the film, they conclude that they end up in a relationship together. Right.
Okay, so, and he is, again, is sort of 20 to 35, maybe a little bit older than the rest of them. And again, a tenor, high baritone.
That's it, dreamy heartthrob.
Dreamy heartthrob. Lovely, okay. And that's kind of all of the main parts. But then outside of that, we have Kyle Brendan O'Boyle, Enid Hoops, Chutney Wyndham, the Delta News, and there are three main Delta News, which is Pilar, Margot, and Serena, and they're all listed as sopranos as well, so there must be some...
Yes, there's plenty of parts there, and what we love about the audition process is that we want to hear you sing main character parts as well.
Yeah.
So even if you are going for an ensemble part or some of the named parts that you've mentioned there, you do still get the opportunity to come in and experience what a main character audition would be like, so you can really spread your wings.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said that as well. I mean, for the years that I've been auditioning, whether I just think I'm just going to be ensemble or not, I always go in and go for a lead role, because then there's always a little bit of something somewhere in the show where it goes, that needs someone to come in and sing those few lines. Or, hang on, Neil did that well in the audition. Let's count him in for that part. So it's good to get yourself seen. And then, you know, you get the practice then for next year when it comes around and you have another go.
All about the growth.
Exactly, yes.
There's so many opportunities for ensemble as well. There's loads of parts like the parents of Elle, professors. So... even if it's your first show, you can still put yourself out there and be on the gated stage.
Fantastic. So what is there a known size of cast yet, or does it just depend on how many turn up and how good everyone is?
Pretty much dependent, yeah.
Yeah.
We want our first Legally Blonde to be different to them this year.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends on who turns up and all their skills, really.
Yeah. Excellent. So auditions then next Friday. So how do people register to audition?
So on the social media, you can find us, the Manx Operatic Society, Instagram, Facebook. There's links on the posts on Facebook or in our bio on Instagram. And you can sign in with your email and click which parts you would like. And then once we get that registration, we send you an email with all the parts, like the music. And then you can practice and then come down next week.
And there are sessions next week then before the auditions for people to have a go and a run through some of the music.
Yes, so we've been having dance classes with Alicia. Leah has also been there.
Yeah.
And then Chris has been helping people run through their music with Mary. It gives an opportunity to people to feel more comfortable when they come down as they've gone through it and they've met some of us.
Yes, and we also mentioned that Leah Carter, she is the assistant director for the show, so when Jeremy's not here, she'll be the one that'll be putting everyone through their paces.
That's right. And Leah's got a massive wealth of experience, as we all probably know,
yes.
People listening to this. But I first heard her in Hunchback, and I was blown away.
Yes, Esmeralda was fantastic. And also, she runs her own drama school now as well, so she has Elite with her partner, Tony. And yeah, so there's a great wealth of experience there that she's going to bring through to the show. So I think it's going to be fantastic. It'll be a lot of fun throughout the rehearsal period.
100%.
So is there a deadline for registering for auditions?
No. So we'd hopefully have them by now, or sort of by Tuesday, just so we want to give them the opportunity to be prepared.
Yep.
But if it's any last minutes, we are always welcome to anyone, even if it's your first show or you haven't done shows in a while, we're always welcome for new faces.
That when I first joined the Manx Operatic Society way back in 1999, when some of you probably weren't even born, there was a board at the front and you signed your name under the character that you wanted to be. And you'd play it tactically. So you'd be in there first. You have your name down first. And then they'd go like in reverse order. Or so you'd put it last so that you wouldn't be first in. Mm. And they go, right, we're going to go in reverse order. And then we're going to go in alphabetical order. It was like, oh. Always ended up first somehow. And however I managed to put my name down on that board, I always seemed to be ended up first in.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, it's no longer that way. But we do callbacks,
yes,
when things are very close, or we think that somebody's auditioned for a part, but their potential lies in perhaps another part within a different vocal range or a different dance ability. So we really want to place you in a place where you begin in a comfortable way, but then you get stretched, rather than the whole time it not quite fitting.
Yeah. And it's nice to call people back because different couples sound better together than
exactly.
others. And then once you've got one couple sorted, then lots of other things tend to fall into place, don't they?
Oh, it's like a jigsaw. Yeah.
Yes. So how was the weekend going to go? So Friday night, is that a bit of a meet and a greet and a bit of a dance workshop? Or
yes. So Friday night's the meet and greet with the company and the production team.
Yep.
And then it will go straight into the dance auditions. We have two numbers, and then one optional, which is the skipping
routine.
Right. Yes. Just to finish it off with.
And then Saturday, people are called in slots then for the different roles?
That's it, one after the other for singing auditions. And then you will find out most likely that evening the
right.
good news.
Or callbacks. Callbacks on Sunday,
callbacks,
potentially?
Callbacks, yeah.
Lovely,
Sunday.
Right. Okay, well, I think that's kind of us, really, isn't it? Yeah. So, well, all the very best of luck for
Thank
everyone
you.
Auditioning this weekend. And no doubt we'll come back and we'll chat to you again in the run-up to the show and
definitely
chat to your wonderful cast.
Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Well, with that, we bring episode 73 to a close. And we wish Helen and everyone involved with Echoes of Shadows all the very best with the launch of the audio drama and to everyone auditioning for Legally Blonde next weekend. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There's over 120 tracks on there now and over 8.5 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. Now, I must say, I only check the email about once a week. So if you've emailed me and I haven't replied, drop me a message through the social media accounts and I'll pick that up there quicker. Well, all that remains now is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Cullen, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Than actors alive for me.